Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Good morning. It is a joy to be with you this morning, to worship with you, to have fellowship with you, but also to bring God's word to you. I bring greetings from Zambia, Silvery Central Baptist Church. And I want to take this opportunity to express my gratitude to the elders of this church for according me the opportunity to preach the glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this morning. If you have the Bible with you, may you kindly turn with me to the book of Romans, the last chapter in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 16, will be reflecting on verses 1 to 16. And the title of the sermon is Christian Service. Are you a spectator Christian? Christian Service. Are you a spectator Christian? The Bible reads, I commend to you our sister Feb, a servant of the church at Cenchrea, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and help her in whatever she may need from you. For she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Greet also the church in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in Asia. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. They are well known to the apostles, and they were in Christ before me. Greet Ampliatus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my beloved Stachys. Verse 10, greet Apelles, who is approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the family of Aristobulus. Greet my kinsman Herodion. Greet those in the Lord who belong to the family of Narcissus. Greet those workers in the Lord, Tryphaena and Tryphosa. Greet the beloved Persis, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobas, Hermas and the brother who are with them. Greet Philogus, Julia, Nereus, and his sisters, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Verse 16, greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Our holy God in heaven, you who dwells in light and approachable, the King of Kings, the Lord God Almighty, the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, want to thank you for your goodness. For your goodness, even in sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to come and obey the whole law for us, but also to suffer and die on the cross as our substitute to satisfy your wrath. And because of his death, sinners like us can call a holy God our Father, and we can be called the children of God. Now, Father, as we sit around this text, we ask, O God, that you will anoint these lips of clay, that, O God, the gospel will come to your people with power, that it will come with power to save sinners and power to sanctify saints. So may you bless the reading of your word and even the exposition of it. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The book of Romans was written by the Apostle Paul. He wrote this letter to the believers at Rome. We see that in Romans chapter 1 and verse 7. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter for three main reasons. Number one, he wrote this letter to present a systematic explanation of the gospel of justification by faith. He wrote this letter to explain to the believers at Rome the glorious gospel of Christ, the fact that man is made right with God, not by works, but by faith alone and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the first reason why Paul wrote this letter, to present a systematic explanation of the gospel of justification by faith. But second, he wrote this letter to prepare the Roman church for his visit. When you read Romans chapter 15, that's what he's talking about. He was telling them that he had plans to visit them, but also plans to go and visit Rome, Spain. And then number three, he wrote to promote unity in the church. In this church, there was division between the Jewish-speaking believers and the Gentile-speaking believers. So that is why in Romans 1:16, he says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, the Jews and the Gentiles." So he's writing this letter for those three main reasons. And typical of Paul, in all his writings, he balances doctrine and duty. So in Romans chapter 1, all the way to chapter 11, we see him explaining the doctrine of salvation. We see him reminding the believers at Rome who they are in our Lord Jesus Christ. He shows them that they've been justified by faith and faith in Christ. He shows them that they have peace with God. He shows them that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He shows them that they were chosen even for salvation. That's chapter 1 to chapter 11. But from chapter 12 all the way to chapter 16, he now deals with duty. In light of who you are in Christ, this is what you must do. This is how you must look in light of who you are in our Lord Jesus Christ. And our text, Romans chapter 16, is in that section, the section of duty, and is concluding the book by the greetings. When many people read Romans 16, they are tempted to skip over it because it appears to be only a long list of names. But Romans 16 is far more than a greeting list. It is a portrait of a healthy church. Romans 16, friends, is part of the inspired word of God. Romans 16 is profitable. It's profitable for doctrine. It is profitable for reproof. It is profitable for correction and for our training in righteousness. So we should not skip it. It is in the Bible for a reason. It is profitable. It is a portrait of a healthy church. Behind every name listed here, we see a testimony. Behind every greeting is a life transformed by the gospel. A life transformed by the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul does not merely mention names. He describes people. Some are called servants. Some he calls them fellow workers. Some he calls them laborers. Some he calls them beloved saints. And some he calls them people who risked their lives for Christ. Their Christianity was visible. Is your Christianity visible? And that raises a very serious question for all of us this morning. If your name were placed in Romans 16, what would Paul say about you? Would there be evidence of spiritual life? Would there be evidence of service? Would there be evidence of love for Christ and love for the church? Or are you merely a spectator Christian? Many people today approach church the way they approach a football match or a concert, a musical concert. They come to watch. They come to consume. They come to observe. But biblical Christianity has got no room for spectators. It has got no room for spectators. Christ did not save us merely to sit. He saved us to serve. And I know I'm talking to Baptists, people who preach grace, preach salvation by grace alone. We praise the Lord, yes, friends. Yes, we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and faith in Christ alone. But we are saved for works. We are not saved by works, but once we are saved, it is to save. But preacher man, where are you getting that from? Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Now verse 10, don't end just at verse 9. Go to verse 10. The Bible says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are not saved by good works, but we are certainly saved for good works. That's my argument this morning. We are saved for good works. So Romans 16, we see here believers who are not spectators. Observe with me a number of points. I know a Baptist sermon usually has got 3 points. I have four. Because that's what I'm seeing here. Four. Now, number one, observe that Christians are servants. Christians are servants and not spectators. Paul begins in verse 1, I commend to you our sister Feb, a servant of the church. Then verse 3, make sure your Bible is open on Romans chapter 16. Then verse 3, he says, greet Prisca and Aquila, my what? My fellow workers in Christ Jesus. Verse 6, greet Mary, who has done what? Who has worked hard for you? Verse 12, greet those workers in the Lord, Tryphon and Tryphosa. Those workers. Friends, notice the language repeatedly. It's greet those who are servant, those who are workers, those who have labored, those who have worked hard, those who have risked their lives. That's the language in our text. Christians are servants. They are servants. They are not spectators. This was normal Christianity. The church is not a bus where one man drives while everyone else relaxes and enjoys the ride. The church is not like that. It's not like the Zambia-Malawi bus where, you know, everyone is in the bus, they're even dozing. While the driver is the one who is awake and, you know, doing the driving. And once he tries to make a mistake of dozing, everyone wakes up and starts shouting the drive. The church is not like that. It's not like that. The church is a body. It is like the human body. Every part of the body must play its part. That's the point. The church is a body. Paul says elsewhere in 1 Corinthians 12 that every member of the body is important. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you. Every believer has a role to play in the church. Every believer has got a role to play in the church. Some people think ministry only belongs to pastors or elders or deacons. Every Christian is called to serve Christ. Are you a believer this morning? You are called to serve Christ. And some serve publicly while others serve quietly. Some preach, others pray. Some teach, others encourage. Some lead music, others clean the building. No one knows them, but they are busy in the church. It's interesting when you look at the list in Romans chapter 16, we don't have pastors here. Okay. There are no pastors listed here. It's just believers working for their God. Friends, all true Christians serve. Sadly, modern Christianity has produced many spectators, people who attend church service and never serve. All they know what to do is to attend church service. People who criticize but never contribute to the growth of the church. People who watch ministry instead of participating in ministry. Beloved, spectators fill stadiums. Servants are the ones who build churches. Is it not James who says that faith without works is what? Is dead. Yes, you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ. Yes, you are a child of God. But faith without works is dead. Observe number two, that Christians are a family. Christians are a family, not just a crowd. Romans 16 is full of warmth and affection. It is full of endearing words. Paul says, my beloved, our sister, our fellow workers, his mother is like mine. Did you see that? Observe Romans 16 quickly. Romans 16 verse 13. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord. Also his mother, who has been what? A mother to me as well. This is the Apostle Paul. Back home at Silver Lake Central Baptist Church, there are people I can call, that one has been a mother to me. They know me so well. To a point where even when I don't preach well on a certain Sunday, they'll just say, my son, come for lunch at home. And I know it's not free lunch. I know there are some lessons they want to go and, you know, you don't look okay. Is everything okay, Pastor? And you find that they're accurate. On that particular day, my soul is troubled. Oh, by the way, we are not superhumans as pastors. At times we get discouraged. But we thank God for the body of Christ. To have just people who can speak in your life. People within the church who can come and say, my son. And yet they're calling their pastor. And that's what Paul here is saying in verse 13. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. So Paul had people who were like mothers to him. When you look at the success of Paul's ministry, don't forget that he had people who worked alongside him. That's the point. We tend just to look at, his success in ministry, but he had people who worked alongside him, saying that woman who has been like a mother to me, that one who has been like a sister to me, that one who is my fellow worker, Paul says. By the way, are you observing that language? Observe the text again. Verse 3. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers. Verse 4, who risked their necks for my life? Observe verse 6, greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. They were servants, but also they were a family. We see family language in our text. The church is not mere an audience gathered in one room. The church is the family of God. That's what 1 Timothy 3:14-15 says. We see the Apostle Paul there saying, and I quote, I hope to come to you soon, but I'm writing these things to you so that if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God. The church is a family of God. The church is the household of God. Christianity, friends, is deeply relational. It is deeply relational. The early church loved one another. They knew one another. They carried each other's burdens. They welcomed one another into their homes. They knew one another. There was warmth in the church. That is why even Romans 16, we see things like the church in their house. Their homes were open for the people of God. They were open. Today, many people attend church for years and remain strangers. They come in, they leave early. They avoid meaningful relationships. The church shouldn't be like that. There must be warmth in the church. You cannot practice the one another commands of Scripture while remaining isolated from each other. Ask yourself, friends, are you building relationships in the church? Are you doing that? Do you know the people of God in the church? Do you welcome others warmly? Would anyone in this church say you encouraged them spiritually this week? We must be intentional. We must be intentional in reaching out to others. Especially opening our homes in terms of hospitality. That is the best way to preach the gospel, especially in a capital city. When people come, when visitors come here at Reformation Bible Church, invite them in your homes. Students, you invite the students in your homes and preach the gospel to them. Times ask someone, do you have transport to your place? No, I don't have. Okay, I can give you transport. Let's go together. And while you are driving that person, you are preaching the gospel. The Great Commission is go in the world and make disciples of all nations. In the Greek rendering is as you go. As you go, make disciples of all nations. The evangelism must be a lifestyle. Should not be a program. There is room for a program, but it must be your lifestyle. You are at work. You know how to share the gospel. You give someone a ride, you share the gospel. I do that more often, especially when I'm driving to lecture at the African Christian University. Find people, on the way, they are asking for a lift. I give it to them, not for free, but we have to talk. We have to talk about the gospel. Remember, it's my car. So just sit there while I ask questions, whether you are saved or not. So in Zambia, I don't know here in Zambia, when I ask, are you born again? The answer is yes, always. Yes. And then the next question is what reveals everything. How did you become born again? Oh, Zambia is a Christian nation. Zambia is a Christian nation, or I go to church, or I sing in choir. There is an opportunity for you to preach the gospel. Friends, observe number three, Christian service is done in Christ. That's a very important point. Christian service is done in Christ. I want you to observe that phrase. Let's go to verse 3. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers. Where? In Christ Jesus. Go to verse 5. Greet also the church in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in Asia. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my kinsman and fellow workers. Then there down you see that, and they were in Christ before me. That phrase, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, is being repeated throughout the passage. In Christ, in the Lord, fellow workers in Christ. Paul uses that language deliberately. Everything revolved around Christ. Their identity was in Christ. Their service was in Christ. Their unity was in Christ. It wasn't a tribal unity. It was unity in Christ. And for you who is not born again, for you who is not a Christian, you may be saying, oh, pastor, what you are talking about, I tick the boxes. Me, I'm well known for working hard in the church. Me, I'm well known for my good heart. Me, I'm well known for singing well. I have a nice voice. I am well known for doing that and that. For non-believers, your works are like filthy rags. They are useless because we are not saved by works. We are saved by faith and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul here, these labors, he emphasizes they were in Christ. My fellow workers in Christ, those who have labored in Christ, their service was in Christ. This is important because many people are trying to earn salvation through religious activity. Salvation is by grace. You may work in the church, you may sing, you may preach, you may carry a Bible every Sunday and still not know Christ personally. Are you born again? Have you made peace with God? Have you been to the cross for forgiveness of your sins? Have you repented from your sins and have placed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Christ came into the world, friends, to save sinners. Jesus didn't come for the righteous. He came for sinners like myself. He came for sinners like us. And when Jesus came, he obeyed the whole law for us sinners. The whole Ten Commandments, you know, all the Ten Commandments, he obeyed them without breaking one. And he did it for who? For us. Yes, Jesus died, but he also lived. And he lived for us. And on the cross, he suffered for us. He died for us. When he was on the cross, all our sins were put on him. Our past sins, our present sins, and even our future sins were put on Jesus. And Jesus was punished on our behalf once and for all. Jesus came for sinners. So we are saved through the person and the work of Jesus Christ. So this morning, do not trust in your church activity. Trust in Christ. These workers Paul is talking about in Romans 16, they were believers. And that is why he emphasizes they labored in Christ. Observe number four, that Christian service is equally important. The Christian service is equally important. One beautiful thing about Romans 16 is this. Paul honors many different kinds of service. Not everyone mentioned here was a preacher. Not everyone was famous. No, not everyone stood in public. Yet Paul acknowledges them all. Why? Because there is no insignificant service in the kingdom of God. There's no insignificant service in the kingdom of God. Some people think only visible ministries matter. But God values every faithful act done for his glory. God values it. Those who clean the church, those who arrange chairs, those who welcome visitors, those who open their homes, those who cook meals, those who pray faithfully, those who encourage the discouraged, those who care for children, those who visit the sick, all of these matter to God. I know human beings may overlook your labor, but God never overlooks faithful service. He doesn't overlook. He doesn't overlook. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord, emphasis, friends, there's emphasis there, knowing in the Lord, not outside the Lord, but in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. Your labor is not in vain. Did you hear that? Your labor is not in vain. God sees it. God notices it. God remembers it. And God will reward faithful service. And even as I'll be ending, Christians, we see here that are marked also by love for one another. In verse 16, Paul concludes by saying, greet one another with a holy kiss. In that culture, this was a visible expression of Christian love and affection. Now the principle is not merely about a kiss. The principle is loving fellowship among believers. Loving fellowship among believers. A greeting may seem small, but simple acts of love can deeply strengthen another believer. Simple acts of love, like a handshake, a smile, a kind word, a phone call, a message, a warm welcome. But also, do you know people by name? It's interesting how Paul knows these people and he mentions them, you know, using actual names. Names matter, by the way. Names matter. It can't be like, you know, the way this church is and you don't know your fellow believers. When you meet, you just say, you. You don't know them by name. You know, it's humbling how that Paul had never even visited Rome. Had never even been to Rome. But he knows people. He knows people. And he doesn't just, you know, describe them by their bodies, how they look. He describes them using their names. Names matter. They do matter. Well, how are we going to conclude our time together this morning? Well, friends, Romans 16 gives us a picture of a living church, a picture of a healthy church, a serving church, a loving church, a united church, a hardworking and a Christ-centered church. These were not perfect people. Don't make a mistake to think, you know, about that. They were just engaged people. They were not spectators, they were servants. And beloved, Christ himself was not a spectator. Mark 10:45 says, for even the Son of Man, we should pay attention to words. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Christ saved sinners. Christ died for sinners. Christ welcomed sinners. How then can we stand on the sidelines, friends? So I leave you with this searching question this morning. When it comes to the life of the church here at Reformation Bible Church, are you a spectator Christian? Or are you faithfully serving the Lord? May the Lord help us. And may the Lord bless this word to our hearts. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we have sinned against you in so many ways. In our thoughts, in our speech. And even with our actions, we've sinned against you. And so, oh God, we plead that in your wrath you may remember mercy, that you may forgive each one of us our sins. And oh God in heaven, may you cause us to be people who are laboring for Christ, to be people who are busy for Christ, to be people who are evangelizing, people who are involved in missions, to be people who are serving in the church, because you saved us, oh God in heaven, to serve. For we are your workmanship in Christ Jesus, and you prepared works for us even before the foundation of this world, to walk in them. Father, many are the times that we've neglected these works. Cause us, oh God, to be faithful. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.